buzzer has sounded. We are headed to overtime with William Pattison on Fox Sports Knoxville. This is Fan Run Radio.
And here we go on a Tuesday, hour number two. Braves and Marlins set to have a first pitch here at 7:20. But we appreciate you tuning in and listening along with us. In the first hour, Lakers missed their opportunity. Vols, portal updates, and our best bets. Great first hour. We'll continue it here in the second. William Pattison, Dawson Wise, Jace Brown joining you. 865-288-311. Or excuse me, 3131, I should say, yeah. If you want to call in and join. We'll head straight to the phones real quick, up against the time crunch. We got Joshy Boy on the line. What's up, Joshy?
What's up, guys?
How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Good. So is it Tennessee who's playing Western Carolina right now in baseball?
Yeah. Yes.
What's the score in that one?
3-0 Tennessee. 3-1 Tennessee. Western Carolina just basically walked in a run. Brady Robertson just hit his only batter that he faced, so they're going to Benke out of the bullpen. 3-1, still bases loaded.
Gotcha. Guys, other than the orange and cream jerseys, I really like those 10 jerseys Tennessee wears. They're really nice.
They are.
Yeah, Tennessee does have a plethora of good jerseys.
And I heard from a source that they're getting like 7 new jerseys next season as well.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
So, do you guys know of like what it's going to look like?
No idea on what it will look like, unfortunately.
I really hope they ditch those grays. Those are ugly, in my opinion.
I like the dark gray, Joshy.
I mean, it's okay. I'll say that it's just not one of my favorites.
That's fair.
Yeah. I will say this, Dawson. I do like it better than the gray Tennessee football wore this past season.
I think we all agree with you there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, with Tennessee basketball, what news are you guys hearing about the portal, about the big man from Charlotte?
What we've heard is that he should, you know, he wants to be at Tennessee, is looking to commit. Now, I think there are a couple things going on behind the scenes with the staff trying to figure out, you know, we got a lot of guys we're looking at, trying to narrow down which ones are going to be the best fits on this team. So I think the Milicic thing will just be kind of a developing story over the next couple of days. I think there are a lot of moving pieces with other guys are looking at, like a K. Tyson, like an Okpara. So I think it's just kind of that process right now.
Yeah. Switching over to football, so are you guys really excited about this season? I know it's going to be mainly about the talk of Nico this season and all the hype of this season, but other than Nico, what are you guys looking forward to seeing this year for Tennessee in football?
Personally, I'm looking forward to see that defensive line and James Pierce, and see if he's able to take that next step, that step that a lot of people think he will take, and very well could be one of the top guys off the board this time next year, you know, as we anticipate the NFL draft on Thursday. I'm just looking to see that defensive line. Guys, real quick, what do you say?
I'll tell you this, just full honesty. You know, being at the bowl game, I was very excited. The first time Nico took off, ran in the end zone, I was like, man, this is going to be such a fun 2 years. I'm excited to see the receiver group. This is going to be a fun receiver group with Brazell and Matthews. I really hope that Mike Matthews gets in the day one rotation. I think he's got that kind of talent. I hope he gets in the day one rotation. I hope we get to see a lot of him this season. Beyond that, the young guys on the defense, you know, Edwin Spillman, is he going to get some reps? Jordan Ross, is he going to get some reps? What's Boo Carter's status going to look like? That at first punt return with Boo Carter back is going to be a lot of fun. But for me, number one's the receivers.
I think number one for me, just because I'm interested to see how it looks, is the offensive line. You know, we saw it in the spring game without Cooper Mays. They got ran over by everybody on that defensive front. Now, I think once that crew gets healthy, I think the ones are probably going to be one of the better crews that we've seen here in quite some time. But, you know, outside of that, it's really been a struggle to see, you know, all those blue chip guys not be able to develop like we thought they would. So that's probably the most intriguing thing outside of what these other guys have said.
Right. And one last question, and I'll get on to my rant about the Lakers out the door. So you guys see the Saturday game between Chattanooga being moved to Thursday? Because I know NC State plays their first game on a Thursday night to open up the season.
So he's asking if we think – I think he's asking if we think it's going to get moved.
Oh, do you think it will get moved?
Because NC State plays Thursday.
Yeah, do you guys think it will get moved?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Actually, personally, I like the Thursday games. I like
– If it's a Thursday night game, the one against Ball State was really cool a couple years ago. So I kind of like Thursday night games myself.
Yeah. And on my rant about the Lakers last night, I know they gave it their best effort and probably their – most complete game they played against the Nuggets in all last nine series meetings, but I'm ready for LeBron to move on and just get the heck out of LA. I'm just tired of his BS, and I'm ready for the Lakers to make the move and fire Darvin Ham. Bring Mark Jackson to LA, Genie Bus. See ya.
Some strong words from Josh.
Heat. LeBron. Joshy boy out the door there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Darvin Ham, yeah.
That's a problem.
You know, last night he threw out in that fourth quarter Spencer Dinwiddie, Taron Prince, and Jackson Hayes.
Oh, boy. Against the defending NBA champions.
Yeah, in tandem, that's not what you want in a playoff game.
In the fourth quarter against the defending NBA champions on their court.
When I play NBA 2K online, I know – you know, better lineups than that one,
right?
You know, and Dinwiddie in game one had a usage rate of zero, and he played like, you know, 6-7 minutes. That means he's literally just running up and down the court.
I think he had one assist. That was it.
He's just like happy to be there.
You know what that's called? Cardio. So
Tony Snell stat line.
This will get on the treadmill.
Yes, he might as well. All right, real quick, let's go to In the News with Dawson Wise. Give us a couple of what you got.
Well, I had a bunch of NFL draft stuff. I might save those for tomorrow. I know I was going to talk about the Vegas Raiders. We'll talk about that tomorrow because I know we're going to talk a lot about the NFL draft.
Okay.
So we'll stick with the one college football story I have for today, and it surrounds Colorado. The exodus in Boulder continues. This time, it's Colorado running back Dylan Edwards, who enters the NCAA's transfer portal and leaves the program. He joins a number of high-profile recruits and mainstay players to hit the portal and head to other destinations this offseason. With his departure, the Buffs now set to lose all four of their top four rushing leaders from the 2023 campaign to the transfer portal, leaving the coaching staff scrambling a little bit to find some new backs. Edwards, if you'll remember, was one of the huge recruiting flips for Coach Prime in 2023. Yeah. Longtime commitment to Kansas State, a kid from Kansas. Coach Prime goes in and flips him to Colorado. The relationship between Sanders and Edwards prevailed in that one. Sanders coached Edwards in youth football, gets him to commit to Colorado. And Edwards had a great breakout start his freshman year. He ran for four touchdowns against TCU in the season opener. After that, his usage went down. He kind of dropped down the depth chart. The end of the season with just over 600 all-purpose yards between the ground and the air. Edwards joins third-string running back Sivion Wilkerson as the running backs in the last week to enter the transfer portal for Colorado. The Buffs did get a commitment from former Ohio State running back Dallin Hayden, a guy we've talked about a little bit on here last week. He had 663 yards rushing and six touchdowns over the past 2 years in Columbus. They're also after Miami, Ohio transfer Rashad Amos, coming off a 1,000-yard season with 13 touchdowns last year. Edwards becomes the 21st Colorado Buffalo to hit the transfer portal from the team in only the spring window, only the post-spring window. Several players, including Edwards and offensive lineman Savion Washington, were key starters on this Colorado team. Coach Prime now faces another tough overhaul this offseason as he continues to try to find his way at Colorado. This is weird because, you know, all we heard since Prime got to Colorado was, Everyone's going to want to go to play there. No one's going to want to leave. And Deion was saying that himself for the last couple of years. He said, okay, we're going to get guys that are going to buy in and commit to what we want to do, and they're not going to want to turn around. Well, he's now had, you know, 20 players just in the spring decide, well, I don't think I want to be a part of that. Cormani McClain, the number one corner in the class, said, I don't want to play for clicks. I want to go and play meaningful football or something. I'm paraphrasing, but kind of weird quote there. But he leaves. Several other players leave. And now all of a sudden you're kind of hitting the panic button a little bit over in Boulder as you try to completely rebuild, number one, your running back room now. And number two, your offensive line. They've had a ton of offensive line depth leave, a ton of defensive line depth leave, and now some defensive backs as well. You're rebuilding a team. You lost one of your leading receivers as well for Shedeur Sanders. I don't know what's going on. This is kind of weird considering what we've all kind of seen happen over there. Kind of weird, but at the same time, you know, I'm not really surprised because if you'll remember, Deion did say, well, you know, if you're not cutting it, we're going to replace you. We're going to find somebody to take your spot.
Yeah.
It's such a weird situation, and, man, what an exodus it's become. Guys, real quick, what in the world is going on at Colorado?
Yeah, I go back and forth on this because I do think Deion is a smart guy in the fact that he wants to bring in guys that are committed to playing football and none of the other crap, right? Because a lot of these guys have been told their whole life that they're the man, that they're the guy, that they can go out and do whatever they want. And I think he's a disciplinarian. He's very hard on these kids. And, you know, you see these clips, not even allowed to have phones or food in the meeting rooms, I should say. So I go back and forth of, okay, it's just kids not liking the environment they're in because it's too tough on them and it's not what they want. Or is it that kids just don't want to be a part of this system that Deion is having? It's kind of a little chaotic, a lot of constant movement. I go back and forth on it. I do think Deion will have success eventually, but I don't like that Shedeur and Shiloh are out on Instagram saying, if you want to come play for us, DM me.
Yeah.
That's a bad look. That's a bad look. But Cormani McClain, a top recruit, you know, a lot of reports have come out that he was an issue, you know, off the field. So if Deion's saying, you know, and Deion didn't bash the guy either. You know, they asked him last week.
He did not.
He says, I want him to go, you know, somewhere where he'll be respected and they'll also, you know, groom him into a young man. I think that's what Deion's ultimate goal is, and I think it rubs people the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
But taking over a school that won one game 2 years ago is hard. And now you're trying to find out the guys that you brought in last year to kind of get a team together. Are they really guys that are there just to play for Deion, or are they there to, you know, win championships and ultimately have the same buy-in that Deion wants? Mm-hmm. I go back and forth on it, but it does from a, you know, from 100 miles away, it does look bad.
Yeah, it does look bad from quite some place away from there, you know, and an outsider's viewpoint. You know, we don't know what goes on, you know, in school, in the locker room, whatever, and stuff like that. But like William was saying, I think Coach Prime is, you know, such an imposing figure. I don't think he's going there just to win ball games, like you said. He's going there to change lives of some of these young men. And, you know, sometimes people aren't bought into, you know, being coached hard, that they've been told that they're, you know, the best thing since sliced bread their whole upbringing, and then they get there, face a little adversity and pressure from a guy who's, you know, made something out of nothing, which is Coach Prime, and, you know, not being able to overcome that mindset. I think that could be you know, playing into that as well. I also think he just has high expectations. I mean, I remember seeing a clip where he didn't let this kid practice because he wore the wrong sock color that day. He holds a high standard, and you know, I guess if you're signing up to be a part of that, you have to meet the standard. And, you know, if some guys aren't willing to, you know, take that extra step, then it's probably, you know, hit the road, Jack.
Just a couple quick,
go ahead.
Instead of, you know, doing a couple other stories today, I know we're running out of time, just a couple quick scores of interest or games of interest tonight. First off, National Predators on the road tonight in Vancouver for game 2 of the first round at 10 p.m., down 1-0 in the series. Heartbreaker the other day.
Yeah.
2 goals in 12 seconds. Lost that one 4-3 to Vancouver, looking to rebound tonight. The Vancouver starting goalie, Thatcher Demko, who looks so good against Nashville in game 1, out, they believe, at least for tonight, potentially into the middle part of this series. Nashville got to take advantage against an ice-cold goalie, no pun intended, coming in tonight for Vancouver. And then the other score of interest is the game we're about to get to, and that is the Atlanta Braves at home against the Miami Marlins. Max Fried on the mound for in Atlanta tonight. Trevor Rogers for Miami as the Braves look to continue their success. Great start to the year for Atlanta. They've started 15-6, looking to get to 16 wins tonight. A couple local scores or games of interest here coming up.
All right, good stuff from Dawson Wise in the news. And now we'll take you to Atlanta, or I guess Miami, I should say.
Oh, they're at Truist tonight, I believe.
Oh, they are? Okay, yeah. Okay. We'll take you to Atlanta, where the Marlins and Braves are set to face off. This has been Overtime. We'll see you again tomorrow for our exclusive Round 1 mock draft. Make sure to tune in tomorrow as we get you ready for the NFL draft. Here come the Braves.